Since last June, Thompson's committee has laid out in extraordinary detail the chaos, the fear and violence of a day now linked to 9 deaths. Regardless, under the title Peacefully and Patriotically, Trump reeled off a string of abuse, lies, unsubstantiated claims and outright conspiracy theories about the 2020 presidential election and the 6th of January 2021. In a predictably intemperate introduction, Donald Trump said the presidential election of 2020 was rigged and stolen. It was not. He also cited the Russia investigation over 2016 presidential election, interference and links between Trump and Moscow, impeachment hoax number one, his impeachment for blackmailing Ukraine for political dirt, impeachment hoax number two, for inciting the Capitol attack, the atrocious and illegal spying on my campaign, a debunked claim, and so much more. He called the members of Benny Thompson's committee highly partisan political hacks and thugs whose sole function is to destroy the lives of many hard-working American patriots. Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, rejected Republican attempts to place Trump allies on the January 6th committee, including congressmen implicated in his attempt to overturn the 2020 presidential election, the fuel for the Capitol attack. Two anti-Trump Republicans, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, sit on the House panel. Testimony presented has been overwhelmingly from Republicans and members of Trump's White House and administration. Donald Trump has sent cease and desist letters to media outlets, including The Guardian, that call him a liar in print. Nonetheless, his letter rehashed his big lie about election fraud. Appendices listing debunked claims about Arizona, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Michigan, key states in Joe Biden's conclusive win. In an echo of Trump's famous refusal to admit that the crowd of his inauguration in 2016 was actually smaller than that for Barack Obama in 2008, the former president also exaggerated the size of the crowd which heard him speak near the White House on 6th of January 2021. The speech in which he told his supporters to fight like hell. The website Politico.com has more on the same story. The January 6th Select Committee's subpoena of Donald Trump is not a play to secure his testimony. It's a dare for the former president. Rebut our case against you if you can. We have left no doubt, none, that Donald Trump led an effort to upend American democracy that directly resulted in the violence on 6th of January 2021. The House panel's chair, Representative Benny Thompson, said on Thursday, as members approved the subpoena, he tried to take away the voice of the American people and replace the will of the voters with his own will to remain in power. He is the one person at the center of the story of what happened on 6th of January 2021. After a year-long investigation that's amassed extraordinary evidence of Donald Trump's multi-front drive to subvert the 2020 election, the unanimous subpoena is a symbolic capstone that signals the panel's final phase. Beyond the historic weight of the committee's bid to make Trump the fourth former president to ever testify before Congress, its members and aides are under little illusion they will successfully obtain Trump's testimony. Any legal effort to compel Donald Trump is likely to take years, far longer than the 2.5 months until the Select Committee sunsets at the end of the current Congress. Some of the Select panel held out hope, with tongues perhaps slightly in cheeks, that Donald Trump might willingly appear for a deposition without necessitating the drag-out court fights that have defined his career. After all, they noted, he facilitated lengthy testimony by his son Donald Jr. and his daughter Ivanka Trump, without asserting any privileges that might have limited his children's testimony. I would consider it a great honor and privilege to testify if somebody accused me of trying to overthrow a presidential election and subvert the government in the United States, said Representative Jamie Raskin, a Democrat from Maryland. Jamie Raskin added, "So I have every reason to believe that every American citizen would comply with the subpoena." Others close to the committee joked privately that Donald Trump might relish the ratings such public testimony would draw, even if it cut against his legal and political interests as he barrels towards another likely presidential run. The website Axios.com examines the story from a different angle. Former President Donald Trump on Friday issued what he characterized as his official response to the January 6 Select Committee after the panel voted to subpoena him. In the 14-page letter addressed to Representative Benny Thompson, a Democrat from Mississippi, the chair of the House panel, Donald Trump rehashed a multitude of critiques he and his Republican allies have previously lodged against the panel. After an 8-page appendix laying out unfounded claims of fraud in the 2020 presidential election, he wrote, "At your request, I will present these additional numbers to you. It's not clear whether the panel has even issued its subpoena of Donald Trump yet, making the reply potentially premature." Benny Thompson said on Thursday that the subpoena would be issued as soon as we get the paperwork. He told the website Axios that the panel has not had prior communications with Donald Trump's legal team, aside from the ex-president's litigation to shield White House records. Spokespeople for the January 6th House Committee did not immediately respond to requests for comment.
The wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the newsline.
Rising rivalries between the U.S. and China are set to dominate the coming years in the 21st century. That is because the U.S. has unveiled its long-delayed national security strategy, where China is named as the most consequential geopolitical challenge for the regime in Washington. That means that Washington is prioritizing winning over China, as Beijing is seen as the only global rival to the U.S. Jake Sullivan, the U.S. National Security Advisor, said, "The People's Republic of China harbors the intention and increasingly the capacity to reshape the international order in favor of one that tilts the global playing field to its benefit." The U.S. strategy further insists that China represents the most consequential challenge to the global order. It also says the U.S. must win the economic arms race with the superpower if it hopes to retain its global influence. The strategy has warned that China's rapid advances in technology is aimed at molding the world order. The strategy is in line with the rhetoric pursued by the Biden administration and its predecessor. Biden officials have accused Russia and China of looking to change the so-called rules-based order. The term has come to be seen as a synonym for Washington-led world order. The Biden administration has entangled itself in a number of global crises, including the war in Ukraine. The Washington regime encouraged the war in Ukraine by sending more weapons into the conflict zone. Washington is using the crisis to contain Russia. And by encouraging its allies to sever their energy ties with Moscow, Washington is trying to push European countries into its own sphere of influence. Furthermore, Washington is stoking tensions in the East Asia region by strengthening its ties with the Chinese Taipei. Back in August 2022, the U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visited Taiwan, drawing an angry reaction from China. Beijing has warned that it will not tolerate Washington's meddlesome interference in its own affairs. But Washington's increasingly belligerent behavior in Europe and East Asia has pushed Russia and China closer together. They have forged closer ties in a variety of fields, including energy, business, and defense areas. Furthermore, both Moscow and Beijing are key members of the BRICS groups of countries and the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Two bodies are playing key roles in shifting the Western-led balance toward a multipolar world. Russia and China have also forged closer ties with countries like Iran and India, which are emerging powers in the shifting geostrategic relations worldwide. It is now widely believed that Washington's ambitions to still lead the world is facing tough challenges. It appears that the regime in Washington has no longer the capability that it once possessed to dictate its hegemony.
Iran hosting the 36th International Conference on Islamic Unity in the capital, Tehran, which hosts 200 Shia and Sunni clerics, as well as thinkers from some 60 different countries. The annual event puts into discussion the challenges faced by the Muslim world. It's widely believed that uniting Muslims in the region and worldwide would be a great step in alleviating the problems they're facing. Violence and wars are killing Muslims in Yemen, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria. Imam Khomeini, the late founder of the Islamic Republic, proposed the idea in the 1980s to bring Muslims together against the imperialist aggressions and interventions of Western powers. Over the years, Iran has championed the cause of Islamic unity and brotherhood. This is when many other Muslim countries have brazenly become facilitators and enablers of America's neo-imperialism. The highlight of this year's event was a speech by Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi to the participants of the conference. During his speech, President Raisi hailed resistance as the only viable path to confronting the Israeli regime. Raisi further said that history has proven wrong those countries who assumed that negotiations would save Palestine.
The biggest human rights violators are the US, Israel, and some Western countries, despite their claims to be human rights defenders. See their record, what they have done to their own people and the people around the globe.
Raisi also referred to previous deals reached with the Tel Aviv regime on the issue of Palestine, saying the regime has refused to honor the commitments it has made. He also criticized the Arab governments that normalized their ties with Israel and the Zionist regime. He said the U.S. and the Israeli regime are trying to marginalize Palestinians through normalization deals. Raisi was referring to the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Sudan and Morocco, which normalized their ties with Israel in late 2020 under deals pushed by former U.S. President Donald Trump. One of the issues that was highlighted in this conference was how Muslims in Palestine are brutally oppressed by the Israeli regime, which is supported by the West and some regional Arab states that have betrayed the cause of Palestine. The normalization deals with the Israeli regime has emboldened Tel Aviv to carry out more war crimes in the occupied Palestinian territories.
It's no surprise to us that the House of Saud has teamed up with the Israeli regime. They claim to be Muslims, but in fact they are the puppets of the Israelis and do what Tel Aviv dictates to them.
So far this year, more than 100 Palestinians have been killed in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds amid a massive increase in Israeli military raids. Israel has killed five times as many Palestinians in 2022 than it killed in the same period in 2021. And on the issue of Palestinian prisoners, nearly 300 rights groups have condemned the continued detention of Palestinians in Israeli prisons. They called on the international community to act against the crimes of Israel. The groups also censured Israel for its administrative detention of Palestinians. Conferences like the one held in Iran helped the Palestinian cause by continuing to point to the atrocities committed by the Israeli regime. If the Palestinian cause is not the most important issue for Muslims and the wider world, then Israeli forces will continue using excessive force in their dealings with the Palestinians without being held accountable.
The French leaders have seemingly found a solution to the country's energy crisis. Puffer jackets and turtlenecks have become the newest fashion trend in the Élysée, as ministers and the president try to imply a message to the public: wrap up warm for winter. That's while, as the cold season approaches, the nation struggles to afford heating. French motorists have been made to wait in long lines across the country to refuel their vehicles as petrol pumps run dry amid ongoing strikes at the country's oil refineries and storage sites. Almost a third of the petrol stations had problems getting deliveries of fuel as tanker drivers continue their strike over low wages and harsh working conditions amid a cost-of-living crisis in France. So, to cut the long story short, Macron is up to his neck in trouble, and his government's winter wardrobe messaging has drawn accusations of being out of touch with everyday reality. The country's far-right opposition leader, Marine Le Pen, mocked the government saying, "Don't have enough heating? Let them wear cashmere." And Gaspard Ganser, an advisor to former President François Hollande, labeled the idea grotesque and paternalistic. Paris has come up with an energy efficiency plan to get through the winter without blackouts. Homes and offices heated to a maximum of 19 Celsius degrees. No hot water in public buildings, no lit advertising overnight, a ban on doors left open in heated or air-conditioned shops, reduced temperatures in swimming pools and gyms. These are some examples of the action France is taking to save energy. However, environmentalists have accused the French government of promoting tiny measures while failing to take enough action on the climate crisis. They say unenforced and voluntary measures are ineffective. Also, scores of French intellectuals have urged the nation to rise in protest against President Emmanuel Macron's failure to improve economic conditions amid rising inflation. The current situation troubles the French government as a foretaste of problems to come, a potential winter of discontent. Now, the question is, will Macron get his head out of his turtleneck? Thousands of demonstrators gathered in Paris to protest soaring inflation and high cost of living, demanding that France pull out completely from membership in the US-led NATO military alliance. They demanded that President Emmanuel Macron resign, calling on his government to stop supplying arms to Ukraine. Ever since the Ukrainian crisis began, causing a severe energy crisis across Europe, anti-NATO sentiments have been rising among Europeans. Similar protests have been held across the European Union against soaring inflation and the rising cost of living caused by sanctions imposed on Russia in the wake of the Ukraine war. Since the beginning of the war in Ukraine in late February, Western countries have slapped waves of sanctions on Russia. In response, Moscow has either choked up or lessened its gas exports to the rest of Europe, saying it would only resume the gas flow after the economic sanctions were lifted. Disruption in supply chains has led to higher fuel and food prices across the EU, driving inflation to record levels and causing the cost of living to soar. The European Union leaders accused the Kremlin of wielding energy as a weapon, cutting gas supplies in retaliation for sanctions. The protesters also called on the US-led NATO coalition to immediately stop supplying arms to Ukraine and to work to resolve the simmering crisis through diplomacy.
I have three priorities for our economy: growth, growth, and growth.
flip-flopping and humiliating U-turn are the terms used by members of parliament and various media outlets on Liz Truss's 180 on her 45% tax cut for the rich. Truss and her chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng thought that a tax cut for the rich would create more jobs and then eventually lead up to tax cuts for the general public as a part of her trickle-down economic plans in what is being referred to in the media as mini-budget.
How is that fair that you get a tax cut of over 2,000 while people on average income see much less?
So everybody is getting a tax cut, and the situation that we were in was we were putting up taxes. That was the immediate situation that we were in. We were facing a situation where the tax burden was at a 70-year high, and that was completely unacceptable. The Prime Minister campaigned for the leadership on the basis that we were going to reduce taxes, and that's exactly what we've done.
Truss and Kwarteng were quickly forced to turn back on their decision as the plan was received very poorly by Truss's own Tory party, who threatened to vote against the tax cuts.
I don't comment on market movements, but what is good for the economy?
Who caused it?
What is good for the economy?
The tax cuts would have been the largest set of unfunded tax cuts for the rich in over 50 years and a huge gamble on public finances and the health of UK economy, according to Welsh Finance Minister Rebecca Evans. When the news broke out about her tax cut plans, the British pound hit a record low against the dollar, prompting a $73 billion budget allocation by Bank of England to shore up the markets before the pound partially recovered. The British Premier, however, blamed communication errors in how the package was presented. And some communication error that was. The kind that shocked markets and voters and couldn't get her the support she needed by her own Conservative Party before she had to back off on it. The controversy in her economic plan comes after the worst start to a new administration in recent memory in the UK, with people already questioning how long Britain's new Prime Minister will remain in office. One might even say trust is fading in trust. The UK's GDP growth has been on a slow but steady decline since 2014, from 1% down to 0%. It was the pandemic, however, that completely flatlined the UK economy, causing the single biggest slump in its GDP since its GDP was recorded in 1961. By extension, according to the Office for National Statistics, the UK consumer price inflation hit just over 10% in the 12 months to July. That is the highest inflation rate in the country since the early 80s. Things aren't much different outside the UK, across the Green Continent. Certainly the pandemic caused its own set of problems for European economy, but perhaps it was the Ukraine war and the subsequent food and energy crisis that really cemented Europe's ongoing and expected economic downturn. Drastic plans to manage the crisis is being implemented across Europe. 3-hour power cuts to homes and businesses are expected during this winter in the UK. Germany rationed hot water, dimmed streetlights, and shut down swimming pools. French people are using more and more wood and less gas to heat their homes. Buildings in Italy will have 15 extra days without central heating. This all begs the question, is the insistence of the West on prolonging the Ukraine war really worth the damages it is causing their economy and their people?
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm very glad to tell you that we have again here our brothers from Sevier International School, Brother Ali Nasir, Brother Hassan Nasrullah, Hussein Ruhullah, and also Fawad Haider Naghawi. So, Assalamu alaikum, brothers. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam.
Are you fine, Hussein?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Fawad Haider, how about you?
Salam, I'm fine, sir.
Okay,
how are you?
That's great, that's great. Thank you. And Hassan Nasrullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Everything
fine.
All right?
Yes.
You're welcome. Thank you. And Ali Nasir, are you great?
Alhamdulillah, good?
Well?
Sir.
Okay, well, alhamdulillah. Great. He says alhamdulillah always, and that's the best thing. Alhamdulillah. So, I hope you're fine as well, inshallah. Thank you so much for joining us. Please stay with us, inshallah, till the end of this session. Again, today, inshallah, we will be having another Quranic session, working on Tajweed rules, and also having a short explanation about one ayah or two ayat or verses of the Holy Quran. Now we're going to inshallah do the ayat 34 of Surah Al-Baqarah, and it was talking all about the story of Prophet Adam alayhi salam and the evil, yes? And also how Allah Almighty created Adam alayhi salam and that story. So are you ready inshallah to go for this ayah?
Yes.
Everyone? Okay.
Yes, yeah.
Before we start, let's listen to this ayah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين.
So, guys, let's inshallah practice this ayah, okay? Then we'll talk about it. I will recite and you listen and repeat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم.
وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم.
اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر.
اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر.
فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين.
فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين.
أحسن ما شاء الله. The very first important point is this, that when Allah Almighty commanded all the angels to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, before Adam alayhi salam, okay, to make sajda, to perform sajda before Adam alayhi salam, because Allah Almighty created Adam alayhi salam, and the challenge that we talked about, yes? Who won the challenge? Adam alayhi salam, right?
Yes.
So, with the angels, so Adam alayhi salam was the winner. And so they were commanded by Allah Almighty to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, before Adam alayhi salam. So, fasajadu, it means when Allah Almighty told all the angels, so all the angels prostrated. But what was Iblis doing inside the angels, among the angels? Was it an angel?
No.
While Allah Almighty says that, he was made or created from fire. Huh? So he was among the angels. So there is a hadith says that he had prayed that much that he had deserved to be amongst the angels. Because the angels in the previous ayah we said, وَنَحْنُ نُقَدِّسُ لَكَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ لَكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. Yeah? We always praise you, we always pray you, okay? They are all always like doing prayers. So Iblis was had prayed a lot, like Imam Ali alayhi salam, I think in Nahjul Balagha says, like over 6,000 years, he prayed Allah Almighty. He was a great slave servant of Allah Almighty. But what happened that he became an Iblis and he's no longer a good servant? And so what happened? When Allah Almighty told him that, let's see, okay, the result of your prayers. Are you obedient to me or no? Do you listen to me or no? If I command you, will you do my command? Will you answer my command or no? So Allah Almighty told all of them. So Iblis was amongst the angels, yes? So, fasajadu, all the angels prostrated before Adam alayhi salam. Illa, Iblis. Illa, Iblis. Iblis didn't prostrate. Iblis didn't prostrate. Why? He said that, Aba wastakbar, he became proud of himself. He said that, oh God, I can't prostrate to this Adam. You created him from a bad smell kind of soil, okay? And you've created me from fire. No way, I can't do this. Okay? That was the command of Allah Almighty. Like prostration to anything except Allah is haram, it's forbidden. But that was the command of Allah Almighty. And the angels did not prostrate because it was Adam, okay? For Adam. Yeah, they prostrated because of the creation of Allah Almighty, the soul that the Adam had. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي, the soul that Adam alayhi salam had. So the story continues, that inshallah in the next ayahs, we'll continue reading it. Okay, now, that was a short explanation. Make sure you go to the Fasir book, okay, and study about it. قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
Okay, do you see any tajweed rule here? وَإِذْ قُلْنَا, of course we see, whenever we see ayat of Quran Karim, we see tajweed rules, yes?
Yes.
That's why we have studied it. Yes. So, we have studied the tajweed rules. So, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا. Do you see any tajweed rule here around?
Yeah, in the لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا.
Yeah. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا. Do you see that Hamzatul Wasfawad?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
So what should we do with that Hamzatul Wasl?
Skip it.
All right. We should skip it. Why? Because we're joining the words, okay? Two words. Lil malaikati, malaikati, and usjudu. We're connecting them together, okay? Here we have to skip the Hamzatul Wasl. Simple as that. But if we do not skip, if we read it, how do you read it? If pronounce it? For example, you say, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اُسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ. We read it with, we pronounce it with
Dhamma.
Yes. Why?
Because of next letter is
The third letter, Hamzatul Wasl,
third letter
seen, and the third letter has a Dhamma on the top. Okay,
yes.
That's the rule for Hamzatul Wasl in verbs. So usjudu is a verb, it means prostrate. Do prostration, okay? Make sajda. So that's a verb, and here we have to put a dhamma on the top of Hamzatul Wasl and read it. So brothers and sisters, as you're listening, this is an important rule for Hamzatul Wasl. So وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا. مَلَائِكَ is the mad, a wajib mad or a jaiz mad?
It is wajib.
It is wajib. Why, Fawad? What do you think? What was the reason for a wajib mad, wajib muttasil?
Because it's in the word.
For mad wajib, it is the condition or the necessary thing is that it has to be muttasil. Yeah. If a mad is muttasil, it's wajib. If a mad is munfasil, it is jaiz. So wajib muttasil, we say it is wajib because it is muttasil. It is muttasil. And so that's why it's wajib.
So it is in the word.
What is in the word? Word is in the word?
No. Hamza.
The Hamza, the letter Hamza. And before the letter Hamza, we have mad letter. A, E, U. These long vowels are mad letters. So we have A and then Hamza. Both are in one word.
One word.
Yes, Hassan?
Yes.
So that's why you got to stretch it for six counts. This way, Hassan. Listen to me. Listen to Ali Nasir, how he stretches this sound. Go on, Ali Nasir.
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةُ.
لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ.
كَتِ, yeah.
You forgot that side.
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ.
لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا. Right? This sound, six count. Hassan, did you get it?
Yes.
MashaAllah. So, that's the very, very first important point. لِأَدَمَ. Sometimes we forget that alif, okay? لِأَدَمَ. لِأَدَمَ, no. لِأَدَمَ. لِأَدَمَ. Right? Two counts. لِأَدَمَ. Okay. فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. Look, there is a recitation point as well. Look, how do I read this? وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. Okay, look, you kind of read in a way that you help our listeners that this sentence is pronounced this way. فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا. It means all prostrated. Just there is one thing, okay? If you recite this way, they will more understand more, okay? Especially those who are familiar with the verses of the Quran Kareem. Or those who speak Arabic, okay? They will understand it. The best reciter of the Quran was Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself.
Yeah.
So at the middle of the night, okay, during midnights, okay, when Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was reciting Quran, his enemies, Abu Lahab, Abu Sufyan, his enemies, okay? Enemies of Islam, they were listening to him in the darkness. They were going, okay, next to his house, okay? They were listening. What is he reciting? What is this? Really? Even the angels were kind of amazed, okay? In Surah Al-Jinn, we have قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. Wow, what is it? Okay, it was so much surprising. And it is surprising when you listen to a reciter who recites it in the most beautiful way, okay? And you kind of love it. I myself, I really love it. So, my recitation is not that good, but when I listen to people, even myself, when I listen, I recite sometimes with myself, okay, alone, I practice, it's amazing. I love it. It's not because of my voice, because of the Quran. The fluency and the rhythm that the Quran has. It's just beautiful. So, فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ إِبَ. Make sure it's قَلْقَلَا, okay? You pronounce it with the bouncing sound. أَبَا وَاسْتَكْبَرَ. وَاسْتَكْبَرَ as well. Hamzatul Wasl is skipped. Then if you do not skip it, how do you pronounce it? Pronounce it with?
كَسْرَ.
كَسْرَ. Why? Because the third letter has a fatha. If the third letter has a fatha or kasra, you pronounce it with kasra. If dhamma,
dhamma.
Like usjudu. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. So, do you have any question in this ayah?
No.
That's all about this ayah, inshallah. our brothers and sisters, make sure for the explanation you refer to Tafasir book, okay, interpretations, and also make sure you practice the Tajweed rules. Hussein, Fawad, Hassan, Ali Nasir, any questions? Nothing?
No, sir.
Okay, let's listen to this ayah once again and we'll finish.
فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين.
Thank you so much. Inshallah, see you in the next session. Please stay with us. We'll be here again with you. So, thank you. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news, with delight.
Colombia is known for its tourist attractions and is full of breathtaking natural sights such as beaches, mountains, deserts, and forests. The South American nation is also one of the few places that give tourists the chance to have an encounter with whales. Every year, from July to October, domestic and foreign tourists flock to Colombia's Pacific coast to catch a glimpse of humpback whales. The large animals reach the coast after traveling thousands of kilometers from Antarctica and southern Chile. But for visitors, there are strict rules to help preserve the area and the whales. Tourists are now being welcomed for whale watching after a two-year hiatus due to the coronavirus pandemic. This is also the time when humpback whales start their reproductive process.
Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. It takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type, and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to afloat. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants. A celebrated Chinese artist integrates his life experiences and the beauty of his homeland using his own distinctive style of traditional painting. Chen Jialing is known for his Chinese ink paintings. Chen brings to life the imaginative richness and culture through his depictions of landscape with every brush of color. He is most famous for breaking traditional painting techniques while staying within the framework of the art form. Chen says one of his favorite subjects is the Jianggong Mountains, especially during certain hours when the sunlight offers its own visual delights.
The composition of this painting is based on the main peak of the Jianggong Mountains, because the main peak is the most majestic and imposing, especially at noon. The sun shines on the trees, forming a contour light involving trees and the large mountains, which is extremely beautiful.
The 85-year-old artist has also used fused traditional landscape painting with modern technology. Though Chen has participated in numerous art exhibitions, but he says his first solo exhibit was held in his 70s, and that's when his career really took off. Chen says he plans to paint as much of his homeland's stunning scenery as possible during his lifetime.
Freedom is an essential virtue that is valued not only by humans but animals as well. Just like two eagle owls that have been released into the wild after being born in a Madrid zoo. The two owl twins were freed after months of training to survive in the nature. First, they were taken to a big aviary to develop the necessary skills, including those for hunting prey. The aviary is designed to have a similar environment to the local mountain range. Meantime, they need to gain muscle and come to a suitable weight. After passing various skill tests, the owls are released as part of Madrid Zoo's breeding program of night birds of prey. 7 eagle owls and 11 barn owls have been released since the program was launched in 2017. However, some of them flew back seeking shelter as they failed to adapt to the nature.
On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says their trap-neuter-release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Ershan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Ershan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Ershan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture, and manufacturing. An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and cost a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge? How much power do you want to be able to draw from it? So again, we're targeting call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time, or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions, while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs. Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up the crazy Americans during the pandemic.
Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, five fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape, but the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
Ecuador's Galapagos National Park is testing different coral replanting methods in an effort to restore fragile underwater ecosystems around local islands.
These corals are important because they are recyclers in the ocean. They convert all the CO2 into oxygen. These corals are important because they are refuges, nurseries, and nursery areas for some fish species.
Coral reef die-offs affect the marine food supply chains and are considered a major climate tipping point. The experimental project is run by park rangers and volunteers in a bay on Santa Cruz Island. Since 2020, they have tested how corals reproduce when they are placed on surfaces like bricks, cement, or tied together and strung on metal frames. They're growing samples in a nursery before adding them to bay. The rangers are reporting improvements with the appearance of new fish near the replanted corals.
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.